Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds.
You're modest, but you're very active internationally in mediation. How would you say rate your own country on a scale of, say, 1 to 10, with 10 being very familiar, very active, and 1 being very little?
Maybe we are between 2 and 3.
Today's podcast focuses on frank assessments of mediation's potential in different regions, like the one you just heard. As a profession, mediation is not exactly consistent, at least globally speaking. Although the practice itself can be similar around the world, its level of adoption and the means by which it is adopted can vary dramatically from country to country. It can be hot in some places, less hot in others, and, all too frequently, stone cold in those locations where lawyers and parties have never heard of it. That degree of variation should be obvious from this short episode of IDN, which offers a quick mediation tour of parts of continental Europe through the eyes of three experts who let me ambush them for interviews while attending a recent meeting in Geneva to discuss, of all things, whether mediation needs to develop common international standards. Helena De Backer is a partner at De Backer in Boston and Brussels. She's a lawyer, mediator, and arbitrator, and is one of the founders of the Brussels Business Mediation Center, BBMC, of which she is currently the president. Konstantin Adi Gavrila is director of the Croatia Mediation Center and president of the Mediation Centers Union in Romania. Mercedes Terrazon is an independent mediator and arbitrator in Barcelona. When I asked about the growth of mediation, I heard about different initiatives in each country: legislative reform, training of mediators, and promoting the use of mediation through the judiciary. All three of these factors occurred in both Belgium and Romania. Helena De Backer.
Is the market growing? Are you getting more mediations?
Yeah, well, since the new law on mediation that we had about, now it's 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago. It did change something, because now lawyers, they cannot ignore anymore that it just exists. They still don't like it. But you can refer to the Civil Code of Procedure, and it's part of the Civil Code of Procedure. And now what I'm doing, I'm trying to implement in the Court of Appeal of Brussels and the Commercial Court and the Labour Court a system where they would refer, where we would have, you know, on a voluntary basis, trained mediators sitting in a room next to the court, so that the court can tell them, why don't you train mediation and so go next door, and they can give you all the information that you require. I'm trying to do that. I'm discussing that on 3 levels, and I think that we will succeed.
Konstantin Adi Gavrila says that the current focus on mediation in Romania is on the quality of the service itself.
Are you seeing much mediation taking place in Romania?
Well, we see a lot of potential taking place, because we have a code of ethics as well, and procedures regarding the disciplinary and the accountability of the mediators. So what we are trying to focus on is the right of the user for a quality service through the most incentive of all, which is the quality of the mediator.
Spain, by contrast, does not appear to have had the same robust framework for helping mediation grow. Mercedes Tarazón has been a tireless promoter of mediation, both in Spain and internationally. I asked her where, in her view, the practice of mediation falls on a scale of 1 to 10 compared with other countries.
Maybe we are between 2 and 3.
Really, that low? Yeah.
In Spain in general. Yeah. Spain in general. Catalonia, was the region where Barcelona is, it's far, maybe there are between 4 and 5. Well, mediation in Spain has been, the first steps have been in family mediation, and it has been, there is regulation in different regions. It has been a little bit developed and it's working. In terms of commercial mediation, there isn't that much.
Having a basic framework in place for qualifying mediators obviously has its advantages for parties who might consider mediation, as Helena De Backer points out about Belgium.
How would a party, say from Italy, the United States, or France, go about finding a good Belgian mediator?
Well, they can come to the BBMC, and we have a list of mediators, and they have been trained, and they went through a test. So it was first a written test, and then a role play. So we have certified mediators, and then according to what the parties request, then we propose three mediators, and then they can choose.
There is some hope in Spain, however, that mediation may grow through efforts to promote it at a local level through chambers of commerce.
The Barcelona Chamber of Commerce, through its Dispute Resolution Center, which is a consulate of the sea, introduced the first business mediation, institutional mediation rules in 2000, and has done an excellent job in promoting, explaining, and I helped them. The arbitration rules will be transformed so that the institution, not the arbitrator, the institution will be informing in several parts of the arbitration procedure about mediation to the parties so that they have the opportunity, if they want and if they feel that's appropriate, to pass from one procedure to the other. And other chambers of commerce are following the path of the Barcelona Chamber of Commerce.
Regulation can be a good thing for mediation, where it provides a framework for standards for mediators and mediation trainers, as occurred in Romania.
It all started in 1995. Pilot programs, punctual programs, bigger or not so bigger programs were funded from inside or from outside the country. But in 2006, this law was published in the official journal, and the council started working the official work. And what they did was this mediator statute, which is based in the law, but the council just took the principles out and just detailed them, explained what they mean in details. And then the council had to draft standards for mediators, for trainers, for training providers, and so on and so forth.
Meanwhile, mediators in Spain may be counting on the recent European Mediation Directive to encourage the country to adopt its own laws aimed at promoting and regulating the practice of mediation.
A directive means that it has to be transported in each member state inner regulation and adapted to that. So the Spanish legislator will include, and there will be a mediation act some moment or other, and I think one of the main issues there, especially for the thorough development of commercial mediation on a sound basis, is that strict regulation is done on confidentiality. Because in some parts of the world and in some jurisdictions, confidentiality is understood in a different way. So, I mean, we need a very... that's a personal opinion, but a very solid rules about what is the evidence shown or proposals made in the mediation.
Confidentiality.
Being confidential. Yeah. It means that barrier that needs to be solidly made in order to avoid, to give guarantees to the parties.
And, of course, regulation can also be used to provide parties with direct financial incentives to mediate their disputes, an idea that Romania is currently attempting.
There are many other incentives that, you know, based on the councils and the mediators' lobby, were established in Romania, like a total refund of the court taxes.
Right.
Or
you mentioned that. So
you have
a refund of the court taxes. So if you have a court proceeding, a litigation, the parties are supposed to pay a tax into the court, which can be substantial.
Yep.
How much is it?
It's an indirect link with the total in
it's a percentage of the amount.
It's a percentage of the amount in the court. Yeah.
In dispute.
And, yeah, in dispute.
And so if you settle in mediation,
The state will just give you the money back. 100%, and that's not the only principle.
That's a way of encouraging mediation. Right.
The another one would be that the state clearly stated that if you really want any judiciary help from the state, judiciary assistance, which means a lot of things, like you get to the state gets to pay you your lawyer or your expert or your mediator or whatever, or your court taxes. You must prove that you first tried to take responsibility and you tried to mediate the case. So it's all about an idea, a principle that if you help yourself, we will help you. And we strongly believe that these incentives and this whole system that the Mediation Council has designed so far are enough reasons to believe that the mediation system in Romania will be a successful story.
Because you're encouraging people, creating the incentives to make a good faith effort to settle
mediation. Yeah, this way you create a demand for training and for service.
This short three-country European survey was hardly scientific, but it does show that practices, commitment, and awareness levels about mediation can vary substantially. One constant, at least from the people I spoke with, is the potential for more and better. In the meantime, it can't help that the people leading the charge for mediation enjoy their work and find it intellectually satisfying, particularly as it takes on international dimensions.
But then I'm still a lawyer, and I enjoy being a lawyer, and I enjoy being a mediator. I mean, I love to do mediations. I just finished one between a Moroccan company and a Belgian company, which was fascinating, fascinating.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.